Yeah, Mayor Schaefer might have had the meeting half done by now.
It'd be nice if, I mean, if this development here was for this, nobody would have complained.
Well, that's what I told them, that's what they need to tell me.
Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone out to our city council meeting this evening. We'll begin the evening with an invocation by Councilman Stan Porter, after which Lewis White, one of our local Cub Scouts from Foxborough, Troop 4630, will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our Father in heaven, Father, indeed grateful for the many blessings that God has given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to meet this evening and to govern the city of North Salt Lake. We ask that thou might guide and direct us in the decisions we make, that we might do those things which would be most pleasing to thee and to the residents of the city. We ask that thou might bless our police officers and firefighters and those serving in our military, might be protected as they protect our freedoms. And these things we say and ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lewis. We always like to have our scouts here, being Cub Scout, whether it's Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts. And usually the Boy Scouts, but we're happy to have you here. I'm Mayor Lynn Arvey. We begin our meeting by allowing the citizenry to address the council. If there's anyone that would like to address us, I invite you to come forward at this time and give us your name and address. Okay, there being no public comment, we'll go ahead and move forward. The first item was a presentation to Nola Lukey, but she was unable to make it tonight, so we'll go ahead and change that to a later evening. The next item on the agenda is consideration of a Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Advisory Board member. I think, Brian, you have that appointment?
Yes, I'd like to appoint Rachel Conway to the board. Rachel is person I've known for probably 10 years. She's helped the city in the capacity of helping with the newsletter occasionally from time to time and has been involved in that way, and she asked how she could be involved more. And I said, funny you should ask. We have a vacancy. She'll be taking Bruce Oblad's place on the board, and I'd like to put her name forth for consideration.
Excellent. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Rachel's not here this evening, but I'd like to welcome her to that. We always appreciate when citizens are willing to be involved in our community, and they always make a difference.
Just as a comment, she already came to the first meeting, was very excited, already contributing, be a great member.
So the next item on the agenda is a public hearing and consideration of Resolution 2019-07-R, a resolution adopting an amendment to the fiscal year 2018-2019 general fund budget. Ken, I guess you're going to address us on that?
Yes. This is a fairly simple budget amendment. We've had two companies in the city request extra service from our police department. And those were in your memo, Big West Oil and Sunt Construction, who's the contractor doing the interchange on Redwood Road and 215. And so we did perform that for them and charged them. We have a fee for that, and so we've charged those two companies an overtime rate and paid our officers some overtime. And so that's the majority of this budget amendment, $72,000 of it. Is for that purpose. The second reason for the budget amendment is that we've had, as many of you know, we've had problems with our heating system in the city office building, some significant problems. And so we've had to engage the services of two companies to assist us. Some of our problems have been mechanical, and some are related to control units and software. And so we've upgraded the software. We've had repairs made to the mechanical systems, the boilers in particular, and so that increase is $18,000, which was an unexpected expense at the beginning of the fiscal year. So you may have also read that we received revenue reimbursing us for the overtime. The $18,000 would come out of our fund balance, which we have a budgeted fund transfer of $134,000. That is excess revenue over expenses. I would also remind the council that most of our city departments come in their actual expenses, come in under their budgeted expenses. So we'd expect to have a few hundred thousand dollars at the end of the fiscal year. So anyway, I'm hopeful that that's the lion's share of the expenditure for the heating and air conditioning system of the building. We do have, I will have some additional expenses for some training on the new control system, but they should be fairly minor, I hope. So,
thank you for the explanation, Ken. This is a public hearing, so this time we'll go ahead and open this up for a public comment. If you'd like to make a comment on the budget change, I invite you to come forward. Dee, could you just come up and talk into the microphone, and we'll... For asking, well, yeah, it has to be on the record there.
Is that a positive increase to the city coffers?
So I should notice this is Dee Lawless, and what's your address, Dee?
I'm Dee Lawless. I live in North Salt Lake over here a few blocks. Been here a long time.
Okay.
Everybody knows me except maybe some behind me, but...
Yeah, we need to just put it in the public record.
All right, that's fine.
Is this money coming in, is it increasing the
money that we have in the coffers?
So from those two contractors, or those two entities, we're receiving $90,000. And so we're increasing the budget for that amount. The overtime was costing us $72,000, and then the heating work is costing $18,000. So the budget's still balanced. But we have revenue from those two entities where we provided the work, and then it'll take care of, we have to increase the overtime for the police department, and the other $18,000 is to provide for the fixing the heating.
So we stayed within the same realm then?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And we may save money in the long run, not having employees running in and firing up the boiler or running space heaters in their offices all day long.
Or paying out a lot of sick leave for colds and flus and things. We hope.
All right. Any further comment? Please come forward. Just give us your name and address.
Micah Stanford. I'm on 1019 New Ham Court. Any of this covered under warranty? This is a fairly new building. Any of that HVAC covered under warranty?
It's not at this point. It's 8 years old, and so we're out of warranty on those boilers. It's a great question. I asked the same question myself. So
I'm assuming you did. I'm showing the boys and ask a question at any time.
It's a fantastic question, and I wish it were under warranty. So
yeah, that's always what it is. It breaks the day after warranty, right?
Okay. Pretty darn close. Yeah.
Thank you. Further comments? There being no further public comments, I'd ask for a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? So the public hearing is now closed. We will now look at adopting Resolution 2009-201907R. Any discussion or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we adopt Resolution 2019-07R, a resolution adopting an amendment to adjust the fiscal year 2018-2019 general fund budget.
Second.
Have a motion and discussion, and a second further discussion. All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of a Class E beer license at Eaglewood Golf Course for George's Grill Concessionaire. Sherry?
So as you as you are aware, we have a new concessionaire at the golf course. The previous concessionaire did have a Class E beer license there. They're not transferable to owners, and so they have to get a new license and they have to get a new local consent. So under the state DABC, the licenses are considered recreational, on-premise beer retailer recreational, and that's a Class E under our license structure. I've put a recommendation from staff with the five conditions from our ordinance and also from the ordinances that the state will require. And staff has recommended that the City Council approve the Class E beer license for George's Grill.
Any questions?
I just have one. Apparently 3.2 is going away. And so I guess we're going to be serving 4.5% beer or something. Is that the same license? Will it be the same?
Yeah, our license doesn't specify what strength of beer it is. So whatever the state changes the amount of alcohol content, it would not be hard liquor, and he's not interested in getting that level of license. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to sell anything besides whatever the state allows from DABC.
I have a question on the language. It says an on-premise beer retailer recreational. When it's on-premise, is that?
On the golf course.
So 18 holes you can.
Yes. Okay. They can't leave the golf course property with it, though. They can't take it in their car and go home with the beer.
Questions, comment, or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move the City Council approve a Class E beer license for George's Grill at 1100 East Eaglewood Drive with the following conditions. No person under the age of 21 may sell or serve beer. All sales and deliveries shall be made directly to the consumer. Beer may only be sold by the operator, manager, food service, licensee, or employee. No beer dispensed by the licensee may be removed from the premise of the recreational facility and submission of health department permit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
Substitute motion.
Okay.
There's some other language down below that talks about the posting of a bond.
Those have been done. That's why I didn't include them. They're completed.
Okay.
Okay.
I withdraw the motion.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is discussion of a possible CDBG funding application for the burial of overhead power lines along Highway 89 between Main Street and 200 South.
So I'm sure that you're familiar with the City's Edge project. That's the redevelopment of the Bountiful Point Apartments. When the developers started looking at the building that they're putting out closest to the street, because it's three stories, it's too close to the overhead power lines, and those lines will need to be buried underground. The developer approached the city about possibly requesting some RDA funds to help bear the cost of that, because, as you know, they're trying to keep those housing units within our moderate income guidelines. As we started looking at it, Allie, our grants administrator, had been talking to the county about the CDBG grants, and they expressed to us that this would actually be a really good public project, and we wouldn't have to use RDA funds or request the RDA funds be used for this. And so what we are looking for from you today is, as we looked at this project and possibly applying for an application, which right now we just have to do a letter of intent, but we'll be working on towards that application, is actually extending that project from City's Edge all the way to Main Street, so the red section of the power line. We have to qualify that area as low to moderate income, but we do believe that they will obviously meet that requirement, because we would just have to get the surveys from those condos right there. We don't have to go through the apartments. We just have to do City's Edge and the residents there, and then the 8 residents in those condos, the Greenwood condos, to qualify. And so we were hoping from the council some direction to tell us if you would support this project to apply for CDBG funds. We will be making Williamsburg, when they come in with their final plat, they'll have to bury their power lines, and their power lines will have to be buried for the exact same reason, because they'll be too close to those buildings for safety. So those will actually be buried the rest of the way, and this is a good opportunity to get the rest of the power lines on Highway 89 underground.
Is there any cost savings to Williamsburg doing it at the same time?
I don't think so, because you pay Rocky Mountain Power, and it's just whatever their cost is. We did talk to them about that, if they were going to do it, that they could do it at the same time. But with this opportunity to apply for CDBG, and the county said they had some extra money because they had to reallocate how they were dispensing CDBG funds to other entities, that they thought they would have extra this year and that this would be a good public project.
Any comments that
you'd
like
to? I just had one question on the, when you say low to moderate on the City Edge, what are they renting for right now? Do we have any idea?
$900.
And that's low to moderate, or more than moderate. And will this lock them in to stay at that rate for a while, or are they going to be able to raise them up considerably after they finish their project?
So they're targeting their other units to be no higher than about 1,200, the new units. And so those, the 900 meet are 50% of the moderate income level, and then the other units meet the 80% of moderate income. So they still both meet moderate income guidelines in the new units and the old units. But this because this will be a public project, we don't have to tie that money to them maintaining the.
Understand.
But that's their price point that they like to target, because that's why they don't provide the amenities, and they can't really get more rent than that because they're not providing the Wi-Fi and all the fancy bells and whistles that we saw on our tour today, the pools and everything.
Still seems like an awful lot to me, and the place across the street, what are they up to now? Because that's about their bottom level, was seemed like around the 1,200.
I think I saw them around 1,600 the last time we asked them.
Okay. All righty.
I have a question, just for clarification. What are the yellow indicators on the map?
So the yellow I started with the whole line for Utah Power, for the overhead power lines. So the yellow is the remaining lines that will still be above ground.
Regardless.
Yes.
Even down the road, we're planning on those being above ground.
Unless we apply for some funds or we want to bury them down Main Street. But we're targeting the area. So it'll be those three poles in red and the lines between them.
Thank you.
Is there any negative comments? So it sounds like the council's fairly supportive.
Okay, great.
If we don't get the CBDG grant, what happens?
Then we wouldn't bury it, and the developer would have to bury his section. Or he could come and ask for RDA funds. But we're very hopeful, and the county was very encouraging when I met with Allie and the county 2 weeks ago talking about CDBG funds, and they were very supportive of this idea and this project and told us to apply.
Sounds like you have direction.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. The next item on the agenda is discussion of Tunnel Springs Park lighting plan and cost estimate. David?
All right. Good evening, everyone. Wanted to talk about this just because of an opportunity I think we have as the Public Works Department. As you guys know, we've had multiple issues the last couple years with hot rods going up there and driving on our park and the hillside. The fence that we put up last year resolved the hillside issues. We've had multiple guys pulling out to the field and doing donuts this year and done some damage to the park. Our camera systems have caught things, but it's 2 a.m. and it's headlights and we don't really get much good. So after talking to Chief Black and going over this situation, we looked at, and we wanted to just install a camera, as we talked before, at the pinch point, right, where everybody comes into the park, so we can catch just license plates coming in and out. For us to do that, if you see the orange line that I've drawn on this map, to run the power, the 110 power that we need, the conduit, to get it from there to that spot where we'd like to install the camera, Public Works is going to do the work, trench it, and get everything done ourselves. But we feel like we have a really good opportunity here, depending on what you guys would like to see, if to maybe install some lighting, if that's what would interest you guys. It's the best for us to do right now, because just to drop an extra conduit in is basically minimal cost. But to do it right now, we'd want to add junction boxes and just save us a ton of time if that's something you guys were interested in. With the sale of that property, I know going up there at night, it's very, very, very dark up there. I mean, that's just a really dark park at night. So just looked at a good opportunity where we're digging that route, maybe to throw some lights in there. Just wanted to throw it out to you and see what you guys thought. Maybe, I mean, pretty much a lot of opportunities to do different things, I guess, along that corridor where we'll be digging. So.
So are you planning on putting the lights in now, or just putting the potential future lights in?
Well, we can run the conduit, but it's just so much easier if we know where the lights would be, because we need to add junction boxes. So that's why we're asking, because we could just run conduit and then go back and dig things up, which it still would be a lot more work than if we knew where they were at, or if there was even desire to do this, you know.
Would it make sense just to put the lights in now? Or you're not asking to do that, are you?
Well, I'm just honestly just looking for what you guys think, because I think we could go a million different directions.
I think we are asking if this is a project that the council would like to fund today. I'm assuming, and so is David, though if I say this wrong, you can disagree with me, that the city is going to receive some revenue from the purchase of our park property by those three residents at least, and that a good source of funding for these streetlights or park lights would be the sale of that property. So, David, did you have the cost on those lights?
So the lights were about $3,200 a piece, and they match the new style of lighting that the city would like to see. It's we asked for lights that aren't invasive onto the neighbors. In fact, you can see in the packet, it shows kind of where the light spreads would be. And we, it's right here. Kind of shows, you can see the trail. It's not the greatest graphic, but the trail's back there, and it shows where the light would actually go. This is more of a full coverage thing. So, I mean, this is seven lights, I believe. So if we were to say, oh, we only want to see a couple lights in there, I mean, then you're going to have dark spots or whatever. I mean, I think it's just more kind of based on what you guys would like to see, but this is just a really good opportunity, I think, for us to look at.
So, Troy, along with people driving around on that park, it is dark. And do we have other issues up in that parking lot?
There have been other issues up there, and I think that's why Chief Black was looking, and David's kind of, I think they want.
Could you find a microphone and speak into it?
Sorry about that. So we have had other issues up there. Safety is always a big thing that we're looking to improve. Along with the lighting, I think Chief Black has also expressed an interest with David to put a camera at the pinch point or the entrance to the park so we can document if we do have a problem up there, the license plate, who's coming and going from the park if there were an issue up there as part of this.
Correct. Yeah, and the advantage to that is we also could use the light pole. The light pole would furnish the light plus something for us to mount a camera on a little more discreetly than just a camera on a pole, you know. So,
might be nice to not be
discreet. Yeah, just we've captured things with the camera, but we just don't have enough light to get what we need, and that's kind of disheartening when these guys keep going up there and causing these problems up there. So
this improves the roadway. What about the parking lot or the rest of the park? You have is the multi-directional camera that's kind of over the maintenance building, is that a new one, or is that our existing multi-directional camera?
So right now it is actually a fixed camera right there.
Okay.
And what we would do is we would move that fixed to that pinch point at the park entrance and then install a new camera right there, which is about a $2,400 camera, but it gives us a better range to capture things that go on in that parking lot, to capture things out in that field. And then
is there anywhere else in the park that needs lighting? I mean, this makes sense on that conduit, but is the rest of the park lit well enough that's going to solve it? Or is the police department saying we need more light in other places as well?
I would say step one, because I think it's that pinch point that if we get them coming in and out, then when we know we have problems, we can at least capture that. I mean, we could go as far as to lighting up the parking lot. I don't know if that's something that's wanted. The tennis courts, I've heard, I mean, that's something that people have requested, lighting there. That's a lot more invasive, a lot more complicated dig. That's just because you'd be going through so much of the park, where right now this is just an area that we're already doing the work. So to me, at least it makes sense to get conduit. But
can I ask a question about the type of lighting? I know the sample in here, we had a presentation last month on dark skies.
Yeah.
Is this a domed, considered a domed
yeah.
light?
Mm-hmm.
And so it would have the angle so that it's not going into these people's homes directly.
Exactly, and so that's what we tried to show on this. And
in fact, it's a little disappointing how it doesn't even hit the trail.
Yeah. And
we maybe want to bend them a little bit.
I don't know. We could, you know, try to fudge stuff. We were just trying to not be invasive on the turtle there.
These diagrams are a little difficult too, because it's not like at those lines it goes immediately dark. There will be, you know, there'll be enough light on the trail. The one thing that this that we struggle with a little bit on a plan like this is our parks close at sundown or 30 minutes after sundown. So this lighting plan is a little bit of an encouragement with 7 lights that may make this area appear to be open all night long. I think it's a great safety feature. I do think we have trouble in this park at night. And so we think something needs to be done. But I really wonder out loud, I guess. I don't mean to not give a firm recommendation, but this plan, I think, is a bit of an invitation for people to come up here, maybe walk the trail at night on a summer night or whatever. And maybe that's just fine. There's a lot of eyes on this park. I think there's more eyes in the summer than there are in the winter. But I think at the very least, we would recommend that we do a couple of lights right at the entrance together with this camera program that Dave has suggested so that we can really capture license plates and start to find people who are doing vandalism to this park.
And I agree with all of that. I think the pinch point's the main thing. I think if anything, the light, we just need a light at least there for people coming in and out of the park. I mean, we had them put together was kind of the max. I mean, you could.
Yes, we asked our lighting consultant to light this area and what would be adequate for this area, including the roadway into the parking lot. So that's why we have the plan that we had.
So is this the optimal lighting or is this the adequate lighting?
This is the optimal kind of. This is what lights up that entire area.
Yeah. Optimal.
But again, if we're closing our parks at dark, I think I kind of agree with Ken that. Why do we want to light up an area that we really don't want people in? That's $3,200 a light.
But there's another alternative. That is, once you do have it lighted, then extend the hours that you can be in the park.
No, I was just thinking about that. If you could light the tennis courts and say, oh, well, we have a sound ordinance. You know, we'd have to close this at 10 or 11 or in the summer and, you know, meet that. But it would actually add to the value. Relative cost of building another tennis court, this is really cheap to just extend the hours
North
of an
Canyon
existing amenity.
Runs theirs till 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live across the street from a park, and you can be certain that there are people in the park after dark frequently, especially in the summer months. And the fact that you would have it lighted is probably counterbalances the risk of people coming in. I think security it kind of is paramount.
I think I'd support
lots of
more of a plan that might even cost more, but would light up more the park area, you know, the parking lot and things like you would normally do.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like it's a little outside the way.
Well, it's because it's convenient to what they're doing.
Well, it is, but like he says, I agree with putting the lights on the end and the camera on the end,
mm-hmm.
but $3,200 a light sounds like a lot just to put lights in on a trail that shouldn't really get used. I'd rather spend that money in the parking lot and lighting the tennis facilities, maybe in some other places. This trail is kind of more of a, what did they call it when we went to the apartment thing? It's kind of eye candy. It looks nice and stuff, but really does people walk on that little trail there, and especially would they walk on it at night?
So. I think we need at least a couple of lights.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think we need all of them, but where the trail crosses the parking lot, I would say that's over by the pavilion. I think one there and then one at the entrance would probably be, for me, a lot better than all of them along the whole entire trail. Yeah, we're looking for safety, but if people are walking the trail in the dark anyway, now we know that they already are, might as well have a light where they can cross the parking lot safely.
And then look at the future, I would say. Look at the future for maybe put them in the parking lot and look and see what our budget might be to put them on the tennis facilities if that's what we want to do. But just to light up this thing over here, the neighbors probably aren't going to be that happy, and I just don't see where it's, you know. I'd rather save the money and put them, the lights someplace else, is what I'm saying. But let's put the ones in on the end, and I agree with JR, if we put one at the other end, that's not that big a deal. But to light up the whole thing, let's use that money and light up other areas in the park that might make sense. Like Lisa says, you know, maybe we want to encourage people to use it at night, but let's put the lights where they're going to get used.
My only thought is it is dark up there.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I mean, I've seen people in this parking lot, and you wonder what they're doing.
Well, that's what I say. Let's light
the parking
lot.
No good. Well,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing is probably not good. But
depends on what side you're on.
Well, I agree with Lisa. I think if we put in all these lights, I could totally see the residents saying, well, great, you spent a lot of money. Why didn't you light what we wanted you to light? You know, you could have taken four of those and lit our tennis court. And I think that looking at a more comprehensive lighting plan here and just knowing our cost options might be warranted. And to say, hey, this is an amenity that has had some problems. If we bring it to light, it may solve all those problems, but also add to our amenity offering in the city. This might be a great opportunity.
So I think maybe I could summarize, and you could correct me if I say this wrong, but so what I'm hearing is a light at the entrance, a light at the end where we have the circle where people might walk across the drive aisle, and then the staff to take a more comprehensive look at the park and perhaps come back with some other options for lighting areas of the park with costs.
This really sounds like a project the Parks Committee should look at, too. I mean,
I agree. They would love to.
A lot of parks around the country are nighttime parks, and they're wonderful.
Yeah.
They are really a great thing to do in the summertime.
And especially with our climate and whatnot. We're not fighting off mosquitoes like you would be in a humid climate, so you really could be there till 11 o'clock
at night.
Could.
So maybe, I think we'll come back with that.
Maybe my suggestion... Not maybe. My suggestion would be to have one at the cul-de-sac, the roundabout, one at the front, and maybe one along the trail now. If you're going to be digging the orange line, maybe put the one right there in the middle so you've got at least one light along the trail. Because ultimately we'll want to put one there in the middle of that.
I'd be amenable to that.
If I could just ask David and Troy what your thoughts are as well.
I think that anything we can do to maximize the effectiveness of the cameras is a good thing for public safety, for the residents, because it allows us, you know, we've had the expenditure for those cameras, and this helps maximize them. So I think what Lisa said, the best thing to do is put three along there, one at the entrance, one at the back, and one in the middle, because it kind of will show the parking lot or light the parking lot.
I echo that pretty much completely. In fact, my initial plan was just that many lights, so that's kind of where we were at. But
David, do you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to comment that we want to remember to put up our signs informing the park users that they are being on camera, so that we don't get some questions about invasions of privacy without people knowing it. And then I don't know how far your multi thing camera will go, but filming the we want to make sure that we're not filming the back what's going on in the backyards and through into the windows of the houses. I don't know where that's going to be aimed, but that's a problem in some areas where people get complaints about the public cameras when they.
This isn't even a pan tilt camera, is it?
Would be. But I think we can actually build a physical barrier to the way the camera turns so that you can't physically look into the backyards.
So we could just relocate the camera to one of those other three poles.
Yeah, so the one at the pinch point would be fixed, so it would just be...
Right, we can just set. I'm just more worried about when I heard the other one.
Yeah, the multi-head, we would parking lot and park only.
Okay. And then my other comment is just from my experience. We ought to do a little, your park committee ought to do some outreach to those neighbors, because my experience is in other cities that although the rest of the city may like the lights and the tennis court lit, the neighbors closest to the park very often get very upset if they're not personally involved in the decision.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Great. Appreciate
enough
that.
Guideline or enough guidance?
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Just what we Thank wanted. You so much.
Did you want to come forward and just... Well, we need you on the record, the video, on the audio recording.
The only question I have is I know that with the new technology that you can put in a lot of solar-powered lights, and with the LEDs, you can direction those. You don't have to put a lid on them. You can say, I'm shining them this way. And with the solar batteried, and I know that there are a lot of those exist because I see them on flagpoles and things, and I've got one in my neighborhood that... have we looked into what it would cost not running a power to them, but just putting a pole anywhere you want and put the solar on them?
Let's go ahead and look at that. We'll look at it.
We've got that technology, and I'm sure that the camera they're going to put in there is going to be a Wi-Fi or some sort of a wireless camera in there. And with the you can put timers on the lights, so you can say, we're going to leave them on until 11 o'clock. They'll turn off automatically, and they'll just run the battery power for those. And you don't have to put any power in them. You can put them anywhere you want.
We'll look at it. Thanks, Dee. The next item on the agenda is approval of city council minutes for January 15th, 2019.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I did have one item on line 43 of the work session. It says there, I mentioned that there had been 5 accidents. This says at 1100 North, but actually the comment was 5 accidents with trains in our city. And I think they were with Front Runner, I think is what I said. Not all at 1100 North.
So the correction is that it's on 1100 North?
No, we'll just take out on 1100 North, and rather than put that, there have been 5 accidents with Front Runner in the last 9 years.
Get those trains better trained.
Yeah. My count may be off, but I think that is what I said, so.
I make a motion that we approve the working minutes for the work session of January 15th, 2009, as amended.
It's the work session or the whole minutes?
Well, let's just do the work session right now.
Okay, then I think it's 2019.
Okay.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I guess aye.
Okay, so the work session's approved. The regular session?
You better have a lot of changes, is all I can say.
No, I don't.
Is there a motion to approve the regular session?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any I guess opposed?
Aye. So that passed unanimously. The next
Why
item
don't
is...
We could do it one page at a time.
Old times, huh? Anything on the action items? No comments on the action items. Council reports. James?
Yeah, so the UC Council is going out to approach businesses within our city or surrounding communities to gather either gift certificates or coupons to go in our Easter eggs. We are starting to fill those. The annual Easter egg dash, the most fun the kids will have in the city in under a minute, will be on April, let me check. I believe it's April 20th. And we're going to be doing that at 9 a.m. Yes, April 20th, 9 a.m. over here at Hatch Park.
Question for JR. Did the league notice at all that we boycotted?
They sure did, because they were missing both the president and president pro tem from the Utah Association of Youth Councils. Both of us, both the president and myself, received phone calls from Cameron Deal.
What was your response?
Bring in a better speaker, and we'll go next year. Sorry, David.
Was David the speaker?
I just know he serves over there in the league. So, but yeah, both us and Centerville decided not to go because there was not a why pay the price of emissions basically to hear the governor when we can hear the governor at other times, and also there wasn't a true keynote speaker this year.
Ryan?
So just a quick update. The committee met. Our new member attended, even though it wasn't officially appointed yet, but attended and to be a part of it, which was fantastic. We declined to participate in the Golden Spike event for our city. There weren't any other Davis County events taking place, and so we moved to decline on that. And then as a further update, I got a request from a resident looking at the crosswalk to Spectrum Secondary School. There's a crosswalk right across the street from there, and we had a resident be hit there in the morning, but I think it was light enough. The reason the residents were hit was because the driver didn't scrape their windshield. But this resident was saying since then they've been nervous, and they were almost hit the other day crossing at night because it's not lit. There's no street light near there to their satisfaction. And so I've been looking at it, and it is quite dark there. And so I just thought maybe the safety committee could look at it and just see if they recommend a light there or if they don't. If you guys could just let us know.
We will look at it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Stan?
I don't really have a lot to report. I have interviewed several people for the appointment for the Parks and Trails. I've got some good people. I've got some people that, if they don't get appointed to that, they're willing to serve on my history committee. So I think that'll work out well. I had one gal that was out of town, so I couldn't catch her until tomorrow night. So I'll probably be doing that next meeting, but I won't be here at the next meeting. So I'll maybe try to tie in electronically, you know, over the iPad. I'll be in Indianapolis, and hopefully if I get a good connection, we'll be able to do that. I think that's all.
Brian?
I kind of have to tee this up, so I apologize for that. I've been thinking about Utopia, and I guess they're gathering signatures, and I thought, you know, just because you sign a petition doesn't mean you're necessarily going to keep it a year from now, but the city's on the thing forever. So I was kind of toying in my mind maybe some kind of requirement that it's assessed to the home like the water bill, and even if they quit it, they still get assessed or something. And I got a call today from a guy that I've known for years that used to be with First Digital, and he's with a company called Keystone Solutions. They're apparently in our city, and they are an internet provider. They're at the they're basically there at the Maverick, and he says, we've got a few accounts in Foxborough, but we could we could provide utopia speed to the entire Foxborough today. And I didn't quite get if it was over. It wasn't. They weren't tunneling, so I don't know if it's wireless or through. They don't even have utility poles up, do they? Above. Must be some kind of technology. Anyway, and so my first thought was like, well, wow. You know, because the city's not on the hook for that.
Yeah.
My second thought is, it's going to be quite a windfall for them if we did some kind of thing. And then he immediately said, you know, and in connection with that, we could sure provide cameras in all your parks and things like that. So I think, so I'm just throwing it out as a non-agenda discussion item. But it seems like to me that the staff should meet with these guys and just see what they can do.
Brian, can I make a comment? After looking at, you know, I kind of originally brought up this Utopia thing. I went to their sales pitch. After talking with them for the last year, I'm very disenchanted with them. So I fully agree with your comments of any other option. You know, as I was the original impetus, and I had several residents, we had 25 or so residents come and to that meeting and talk to me and start this petition and all these things. I'm very disenchanted with working with them. They're not willing to move the needle at all in any form of space. And, you know, I just don't want to obligate the city to any sort of long-term contract that who knows what technology is going to be in 10 years and, you know, what type of new technology may supersede or surpass some of these items. And yet we'll be on the hook for 25 years and they're not willing to budge one inch on that agreement. And so I'd be happy to look at anything. I love this idea, Brian. That was my comment.
Well, we also have Echo that we just approved going in for fiber that they're putting in themselves. So if a company's coming in and wanting to put it in fiber themselves, why would the city compete with a private entity?
And we've already given them a franchise. Is that correct?
Echo Broadband, yes. So just so the council knows, and Brian knows this already, Roger Timmerman did reach out to Ryan and to me, and I've told him what the city's position was, that we were declining their offer. So,
do we have any idea on what Echo's plans are or if they're really going to do anything?
Did you? Go ahead. Because I talked to him about 3 weeks ago, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I just had an email exchange with Echo about 2 days ago, and they are saying the end of March, the first part of April, they'll be starting to install the fiber. And they actually just submitted a request to amend their franchise agreement so that they can allow people who sign up for the wireless that they get can put a sign in their yard basically saying we have fiber served by Echo Broadband, so that it kind of gets the word going out in the neighborhood that they're there. So that'll be on your agenda in 2 weeks.
And they're, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're starting on the south end, correct?
Yeah.
And working towards the north.
Yep.
But what about Eaglewood? Gee, I was.
Oh, we don't count.
You guys get the golf course.
Verizon's working on some of those small cellular sites on poles right now. I haven't got an application for it, but I've been contacted by them, and they've showed me what they want to do up on Eagle Ridge Drive.
Yeah.
But if you have a contact for Keystone, I'd be happy to reach out to them.
Do whatever. Lisa, or do you have anything else, Brian?
No.
Lisa?
A couple things. There's a newspaper article that I put in your boxes. Since I'm on the GSL Scenic Byway Committee, it's an article written by a physician, Utah Clean Air Alliance. I just wanted to alert your attention to it. It was written in the Trib. I got an inquiry from a resident who is living at 3800 South, wondering if there's any options for a more sidewalk along the south side of the street. And I told her that I would raise it with the city, see what logistically would be possible. So it's 3800 South, there's a sidewalk on the north side, but not on the south, which we are all aware of. You know where the new complex came in? I don't think there's a sidewalk, or is there now?
There is in front of the Brighton project. I think the concern is on the corner.
It ends at the car lot, and they have to go into the road.
Right.
Quite a bit, especially if that car lot parks one or two cars right along there. So these people are going walking down to catch the bus are walking into the road quite a bit.
Thanks.
And there's also the car lot is, when it snows, they're plowing the snow up to the, almost to the sidewalk. There's a little tiny wall about 12 inches tall, and then they have a fence that separates the project from the car lot. And so they're plowing the snow all the way up there, and it gets 2 to 3 feet high. So I think we probably talked to the same lady.
Is that our street?
It's our street. No.
Would you come to the mic, Paul?
So we don't have anything to do with the snow plowing.
Yeah, so that was the question. It's unincorporated Davis County on that side of the street.
I think the snow plowing is actually in the car lot when they're plowing their lot.
Oh, okay.
They're plowing right up to that wall, and then it goes into the gutter and stuff like that.
And when I looked, I thought there was a sidewalk that was there. It just didn't have.
It's all asphalted and concreted, so it's improved. There's just not a formal sidewalk where the project starts.
Is there a right of way for a sidewalk?
I don't believe there's right of way for it, but we're happy to reach out to them. We know the owners of the car dealership and talk to them about it.
And I have the woman's name.
That'd be great.
And I'll forward that contact information.
Great. Yeah, okay. We'll reach out to the to Incredible Auto.
One other thing I just wanted to mention. They have this invitation to all of us on the city council to go up to the Utah Museum of Natural History for the Mayan exhibit. And I ended up going yesterday with my husband, and there were lots of legislators there. So it was an interesting thing, and North Salt Lake City was represented. So I wanted to let you know that. And then I'm a bit disappointed when I see on Facebook people complaining about multifamily housing in Foxborough, and they were complaining about the open house that's going to be held February 7th for the residents in Foxborough, and how disappointed they were that there's going to be an open house. And that it doesn't matter because the developer will do just exactly what they want. And there was a response back that said, it's the developer that's calling the open house, not the city, and he's reaching out to you folks so that you get an understanding of what might happen. But it's like you can't win for losing sometimes.
Well, if you guys would listen to them...
We do.
I don't think I have anything that Ken isn't going to update us on. So, Ken, why don't you give us your report?
Great. Move us along here. So, just as a reminder, I hope that some of you have this on your calendar. This is Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2, the open house for the Wasatch Resource Recovery Project. And then, as Lisa mentioned, the open house on at 6:30 on Thursday night. For the Foxborough, for Chris Robinson's project.
Ken, do we know where they're going to have us park for this open house? Because you can't park on Center Street. In the middle of this, the school's getting out. Because they're getting out early because of parent-teacher conferences.
There is room on the property for you to park, and I'm assuming they'll have signage for you. But we'll find out and send you an email. Probably Linda will send you an email.
I can call Matt.
Linda
won't
send you an email.
I'll call Matt. I just talked to him about it, and I'll call him.
Okay, great. So we'll get some parking information. I will be out of town on the 7th until the 13th. So I wanted to let the council know that. I let the mayor know that a while ago. Let's go to the next. You can just hand me that, too. Thank you. So... I thought if the council's willing, maybe we could take a second and talk about this email that I sent to you last week about Chad Basinger's request to have us look at the possibilities of putting in a mixed-use project on the south end of Eaglewood Village. So I've outlined the property in yellow there, It's about 10 acres altogether, which would include Orchard Drive. And they would propose to make Orchard Drive private at that location, and it may not even go through to the frontage road. We haven't seen a specific plan, but this is what the original plan looked like. We've made a few changes to it, as you can tell. Up on the top of the hill at the views, you can see that those were attached units, and here they have been changed to single family. If you see how I've toggled back and forth there, we changed that. That was one of the amendments we did. We amended the multifamily, of course, and added took off condos and added apartments. The frontage, the parcel that's in front, facing Highway 89, was set aside for retail. It's still set aside for retail. And then these two parcels that are the subject of Chad's request were going to be office buildings and perhaps some retail. So this is, I know this is just a concept plan, but this was the plan that's in the development agreement when it was originally approved. These are graphics that were submitted to us as the first submittal on the Weinigers project. You probably would recognize them. Chad said that they'd be willing to do this kind of development. They felt like we had some interest in this. And when I say it's mixed use, we have ground level retail, non-residential, and then we have three or four stories above. That's kind of what it looked like from a different angle. This, of course, is not what it will look like. This was not approved on the Weinigers project. But this is the style and type of development that they are interested in doing here. It's just another view and yet another view. And then in the bottom right here, they submitted a photograph of what they thought it might look like. Here's another developer who submitted a project on one of those Eaglewood Village parcels about a year ago. And my recollection was that we brought this to the City Council in a work meeting, perhaps. Had some of you seen this drawing before? Did you recognize
it? I remember it.
I think that we did talk about it. This was a developer out of San Francisco, and they've since done this. They're working on this concept, I believe, in Farmington, somewhere north of us. As I kind of said in my email, I think these parcels are having a tough time. Go back to the Google Earth shot. They have gone through now their third group of realtors and brokers to try to market the property. I think it is a difficult property to market. I think that the office market along the Wasatch Front was stronger 4 or 5 years ago than it is now. I told Chad I would bring this to your attention. This is that's his request, and he's wondering what sorts of feelings you might have as the governing body to adjust the land use plan here for Eaglewood Village.
I need to probably announce a potential conflict here. I am an owner of a business, and one of the owners, I think, has an interest in this, but I'm not positive. But anyway, that is a potential conflict.
We won't let you vote then.
Okay, sounds good. But I think I talked to you about this before, Ken, I think it irritates me to no end that they let the CDA proceeds on this stay with one party, and then the owner of the property doesn't have any interest in the CDA. And this was a very lucrative CDA, if I remember it. I think it was 75% or 80%.
Yeah, it's a good
that we
one.
Had, and so to have a CDA that's that high, And then put multifamily housing in. It's not a real big money maker for the city. In fact, it's probably a money loser. It helps if they're taking that road and making it private. But the other thing that I would think you would want to do before the council would support it, and I don't know, it's you know their decision, is to go to whoever has that CDA now and say it doesn't qualify if you're going to put housing in there for the lucrative CDA that you got. And I think if we were looking at something like this, I think the county has guidelines, and I think it's probably 45% now as CDA, and it probably ought to go down to that if they're willing to do that, and then I think the council may want to consider it, but that would be up to them. But those are my thoughts.
It's pretty getting pretty close down there where the operating gravel pit is. That would be my concern with them being that high. And we already know what people think about blasting and other things. That would probably be, I mean, I don't think it looks like a terrible project. It concerns me as it gets closer to use operations, as long as it's operating there. I can just see it now. Something happens and somebody's windows broke out, and worse than that, and then somebody's going to ask me why we allowed that to go in that close to an operating gravel pit.
Would you let a business go in there? Or would you let nothing go in there?
I think a business wouldn't be quite the same, and it's not that high. I don't think we anticipated on that high, did we?
I think so.
Well, okay. I mean, I wouldn't deny him on that, but I'd be concerned that that could be a potential problem, bringing the residents into an area that we already know would be within a zone that they're not going to like it, you know, and they're going to come to us and want us to do something about it. We won't be able to. But that's just a thought as we're looking at projects that are that high and that massive and stuff and that within that distance of their operation.
Speaking of which, are they done with that part they said they were going to be done with yet?
On the Thomas parcel?
Yeah.
No, they still have that bench in the northeast corner.
Do we know how much longer they're going to be working on that? Because they were supposed to be done, I think, next year.
Yeah,
can we just check and just check on their progress?
I don't think they have any requirement from us on that, actually. We don't have an agreement. I've given them a draft agreement that they've ignored to get it finished up. If we wanted to go try to get it finished up, we can.
Okay. Maybe we ought to put an action item on the council meeting, next council meeting, to see if we want to take some action there.
Have we heard anything about when Quick Quack's going to start?
I think they're waiting for the weather to change. So they're finishing a couple other projects, but they've already done their pre-construction meeting. They have their building permit, so it should just be within the next month or two they'll be starting.
Okay. I'm wondering if they're just waiting until that one out in West Jordan's finished to move their crews up here then?
I think they just have a couple of projects going in various cities that they want to tidy up, and then they're ready to go.
Any other comments on this project?
I will say Mr. Basinger did not want to come to the council. He's been to the council. He didn't want you to feel pressure, so I told him we'd bring it to him. So bring it to you. But
as I look at the project, it's very nice. And here we go again. I look at each project individually, weigh it on the merits, and this one has lots of merits. And if it was the only thing I'd seen in the last 18 months, I'd be like, awesome. But I see this every meeting. And I was thinking about it driving here, and when I think about the city of South Salt Lake, it's industrial and apartments. And when I think about North Salt Lake, I think we're kind of like Bountiful. But really, we're more almost like South Salt Lake, except we have refineries to go with our industrial and apartments. And I'm just getting fatigue a little bit. I think the fact that it's on the south side of the, you know, doesn't impact the city quite like some of the others. I assume we're getting a traffic light there.
Eventually.
I think there's one plan there, but it has to be warranted, so you'd have to do a warrant study on it. But there's one agreed to be there.
I think it'd be really problematic to offload this complex through the traffic circle.
I agree.
I'm not thrilled.
Think about the commercial, Brian. You're in that market.
Well, that does create traffic issues.
Well, I'm just saying, do you think that will ever happen, or do you like this is pie in the sky?
There's nothing that tells me it's going to happen.
Okay.
But conversely, the Sandy Draper down to Lehigh corridor is exploding like crazy. You know, call it Silicon Slope if you want, but the reason that goes so much better than downtown, I hear over and over again, is because parking. You know, you don't have to pay for parking out there. Well, we could, you know, there's an office building just north here that nobody has to pay for parking, and yet it hasn't done well, I don't think. I look at Five Points. It's not going. I'm at a loss as to why. Why is Draper booming and South Davis County is not? I can't explain it. Perception.
That or yet it's not booming. Maybe the time just isn't it.
Yeah.
I like the project, quite frankly. I thought entering the town of places where we put multifamily housing, that seems like the most likely. Now, I didn't know that the CDA funding issue played into that, so that was new. But I kind of thought, yeah, this is if there's a place where you'd have an entry to the city where it would be right next to Salt Lake City for urban professionals where they'd like to live, this seems like the most likely place of the whole town that we live in. So, again, we take the heat, but it's and the thing is, it's what a developer he said they've tried three different scenarios of this to try to utilize the property. So maybe the question is, it's not time yet. We can have vacant land that isn't used until the time is right, till we turn out to be like Draper. I don't know. That's just some thoughts.
Is the clock ticking on
CDA? Yeah. CDA? It was triggered 2 years ago?
Oh, no. It's been longer than that, I think. So maybe 4 years ago.
Years ago, and it was 15 years.
I think it's 15 years, yeah. I'll find out for you. I should know.
Other thing that we could have them look at, which we probably ought to have them look at, and maybe it's an issue and maybe it isn't. Paul can help me there. It seems like that roundabout on Eagle Ridge Drive and Orchard doesn't always function all that well, but maybe it does.
That is a concern that we've talked about amongst ourselves, and so if we were to add multifamily, we would probably need to have this group assist us with some improvements there. So I agree, that's a problematic issue. It's also a problem for pedestrians trying to cross to stay on Orchard Drive.
Other comments?
I agree with the comments stated. If you're going to put in a five-story apartment building that's high-end and beautiful, putting it right next to all of our other apartment buildings, right next to a bus rapid transit station, in an area that is not usable for many other uses or hasn't been invented for other uses, for the city council member that votes no on almost every project ever that has the word apartment in it, I have yet to find a reason to vote no on that one.
As another council member that likes to vote no on apartments, I would still vote no. I'd rather have empty land here than throw in more apartments. That's going to clog up even more of our streets and give us more of an issue on public safety, adding more walking students to Orchard Elementary across that. So if we could figure out a way to get students safely across Eagle Ridge and along Orchard Drive, I know I'm not supposed to vote on school issues, but I'd vote no more on public safety issue of students walking.
That may be Highway 89 is the answer, not Orchard.
We have
thank
enough
you.
Feedback for
yeah,
him, I
thanks.
Think.
That's perfect.
Did you have anything else?
I do have an issue, but I think I'll let David Church kind of introduce it.
Okay. Now, did we want to go into a closed session for David's?
Yeah. Yes. I have some updates on some pending litigation and some things to discuss about the upcoming mediation and some other things that would be more appropriate to discuss in a closed session.
Okay. So can I get a...
Can you stay here?
What?
change the recordings.
Well, we'll need to change the recordings. Maybe we'll do that, Dee, if you don't mind. Okay. So, can we get a motion to go into closed session?
A motion to move into closed session to discussing pending litigation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 Okay. So we're going to go into closed session. And
bye, Dee.
Dee, thanks for coming.
See you next week.
All right.
Please come next week.
Yes, please.
Yes, and you guys can go. Thank you.
And then we're
drive
sure
safe.
It's not broadcasting out there, right?
Follow the plow.